see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
A lot of people do get married on plantations.
I know. And I said to my boyfriend last night, I go, if I become a ghost, I'm going to go to plantations and haunt people who get married.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Hello, and welcome to Counterintelligency, a show where we explore all the kinds of intelligency: emotional, running a multi-million dollar business, analytical, and even colorful intelligency.
We all have our own different ways of not being total idiots. Let's celebrate it.
Let's make America intelligency again.
But like, actually.
Joining us today to at least make The Bachelor slightly less mind-numbingly stupid, Vulture recapper extraordinaire Allie Barthwell. Thanks for joining us, Allie.
Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, this is long overdue. We're so excited to,
I'm so excited to have you on.
There's a lot for us to talk about today, I think.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed I wasn't on last week for like the uproar of Corinne, but I'm excited I got to see like her emotional triumph over Taylor this week.
Oh, yeah. There's still a lot of Corinne.
Right. I mean, I suspect we're going to continue to have a lot
of
Corinne.
One of the few Corinne defenders.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited to get another Corinne-heavy episode.
I am like such a Taylor stan, so this is going to get really intense.
Okay,
so we have this moment between Taylor and Corinne in their argument where Corinne decides that instead of just sitting there and listening to Taylor's criticisms, she's going to just project all of that onto Taylor herself. I thought that was pretty brutal to watch. What did you think?
I thought it was like a master manipulation move. Like, she was channeling Cersei in that moment. Because from the rest of the episode on, it was no longer about any legitimate criticism of Corinne. It was about Taylor bullying Corinne. So anything that Taylor said to Nick was like immediately squashed because Corinne batted her
has
big
has positioned
eyes
her
said,
as
oh,
a bully.
Bullied.
Right. I want to be clear. I don't think there was actually bullying going on.
No.
I didn't witness any.
No.
I still can't get over how Corinne managed to initiate this argument and then somehow make herself out to be the victim of it. Like, it was her idea.
I mean, it is masterful. And then she also she kind of baited Taylor into being her most condescending self. And then somehow proved her maturity to Nick by talking about it. Which is shocking because if you've watched this show a lot, you know that usually it is the death sentence to spend your time with the lead talking about another person in the house.
And I think Corinne is sort of getting away with it because the stuff that Nick was really enjoying with her, people were also criticizing. Like, people were criticizing the bouncy house, and he was like, but that made me very happy.
Yeah,
but
he
now
was like, but I enjoyed that sexually.
He was like, why don't you want me to be happy in a bouncy house?
So I think he's seeing now that, like, oh, people just don't want me and my penis to be happy.
That's true. I don't really care that
he's
much.
He's like, you've
about...
got to look out for number one and number two.
So. Yeah.
which is which? Who knows?
Yeah. Depends on the day.
And I thought that the way that Corinne handled Taylor was almost too obvious, though. Like, it was such a Jedi mind trick moment, except that the Jedi mind trick doesn't exist in real life. Like, she starts just assaulting Taylor with all the, you're a bitch, everyone hates you. And then she says, right now you feel how I felt yesterday, alone and sad. And then she smiles.
And then Taylor's like, wait, I don't actually feel those things. That was a great moment.
But then you see her start to question, maybe I do feel those things.
Yeah, there's a moment in Taylor's eyes where, like, the light goes out for a brief moment as she considers, like, oh, God, am I the bitch? And she tries to be like, oh, well, maybe I'm not being fake nice. I'm just considerate of other people's time and don't want to waste their time by saying. And it's over the smallest thing of saying hi or not saying hi to people when you walk into a room for breakfast.
Right.
And that's another kind of villain we get sometimes is the villain that never seems to do anything wrong, but maybe she doesn't smile at people enough in the house.
Yeah.
And I guess they set up Taylor to be this very abruptly to be that sort of villain. But unfortunately, we also have Corinne, who is a much more scheming,
overt,
exciting villain.
Yeah, I think they set it up as a two-on-one of two kinds of villainy facing off.
And I've been a Corinne defender, and I will continue to defend her, but I don't think this is the first time I think we've seen Corinne, like, go after someone on the first attack. She's mostly just been, like, off in her own world, like, dreaming of her nanny and trying not to get cow poop on her designer shoes.
Yeah, Corinne kind of lost me this episode. Like, I think she's obviously very entertaining, and I think she's leaning into this character, and I, like, you know, I can't fault her for that. Like, you go on reality TV, you want to make a splash. Like, I get it. That's not so bad. But I do think, like, she's not very kind in this episode.
No.
She's saying a lot of just, like, bye, bitch. I'm the queen. I won. Like, she's gross. Like, just really kind of immature, gloating
Corinne
things.
Immature.
I know. It's so shocking.
I
mean, some really emotionally intelligent and deep statements.
It was hard not to watch that and just see a little bit of trying to deal with the popular girl in your school.
Yeah, I probably
she has
a little biased
toolkit
against that personality type, too.
It's not bias if they're just bad people. I don't know what to say.
Okay,
like,
so
the things that Corinne gets away with saying and Taylor is painted as the bully, like, she's sitting there legitimately saying, well, I started this confrontation and I don't like what you said to me. Also, everyone hates you and you're a bitch and no one in this house wants you around. And Taylor still is supposed to come off as the bully in this scenario. And I know a lot of people who are watching took Corinne's side, which just baffles me because Corinne was being so mean.
I think I'm one of the ones that took Corinne's side. I mean, at a certain point, like, Taylor, her use of her mental health background to diagnose Corinne or to try and teach her about emotional intelligence. At a certain point, she just was repeating the phrase emotional intelligence.
Yes. No, I agree. She did not do herself many favors this episode.
No.
But, like, that's the standard that we have, is Taylor has to do it all right, and Corinne can be a psycho, crazy
bitch. I thought that they were both coming off pretty poorly, and I still felt a little more kindred spirits with Taylor, and I think in real life I would much prefer to spend time with her. But I did think that she came off condescending.
Yeah.
It's
not hard to appear condescending when you're having to explain, like, fundamental concepts of human interaction
exactly.
to someone.
She was being baited into it. Like, you could see exactly how she got there. And, like, she's also 23. I mean,
yeah, they're at the same level in terms of, like, time spent on Earth dealing with other humans.
Oh, man, when I was 23, I would have been such a basket case on this show. Whereas now, I think I would handle it really well.
Okay, so I think we need to move on.
The rose ceremony.
I don't know. Corinne's really hoping Taylor goes home. Taylor's hoping Corinne goes home. Obviously, Neither of them go home. Instead, Astrid and Sarah are eliminated.
Yeah. Was anyone surprised by that?
I
was surprised Sarah went home just because she had seemed, I don't know, she seemed really invested and he sort of seemed responding to her, but
we
again,
hadn't really
like
seen
point,
him.
We haven't seen
interact
many,
with
like,
either of them.
There's people getting roses that we haven't seen.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I wouldn't, there's like a whole six people that I wouldn't be surprised if any combination of them had gone home.
Yeah, but once Catherine was one of those people getting roses that we never saw, and then she rose like a dark
horse. Whitney could be that. Whitney
pack.
Is the one that could be that.
Oh, my God,
dark
I
horse.
Hope not. Astrid was the one who sort of stole the hot tub victory from Rachel.
Yeah.
And I think she karma really got its own back.
Well, judging from Instagram, actually Whitney, Astrid, and Rachel seem to have been sort of like a clique.
Fine. ruin my whole theory.
Yeah, Astrid and Rachel were spending the whole weekend together. It was all over Instagram. I don't know if anyone has stalked Rachel as thoroughly as I have.
Probably not. Although I did look at her at her LinkedIn. It looks very professional.
She's very accomplished.
That's
I
all
did
I got.
See I did see everyone on Twitter talking about how great Rachel is.
There's
including
a lot
Ben
of,
Higgins.
Yeah, there's a lot of lady love and also like general Oh, yeah. General Bachelor Nation love for Rachel. But I like that so many of the women were tweeting about each other. And, like, Rachel included was tweeting about Raven. Like, if you say anything about Raven, like, you go through me. Like, they were all standing up for each other. It was pretty cute.
I remember they all loved
outside Danielle of Corinne and Taylor, there's any other drama in the house.
Which is why they have to get three episodes out of this fake feud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They are stretching it for all it's worth.
Yeah, and I loved how Josephine was, like, getting into it. She was like, this is my chance.
Josephine Taylor just is trying to get that screen time.
It sort of worked.
A little bit.
We got to see a lot of her eating canapes.
So after the rose ceremony, they go to New Orleans, which is certainly a better location than Waukesha.
Yeah, I've never been to either, but judging just on what I saw on the screen, it did look a little more exciting. They went to a Marriott. Did you guys see?
Oh, a JW Marriott in New Orleans. Ooh. And they kind of ran around in the hotel suites.
I heard it's the perfect place to fall in love, specifically in that Marriott.
The penthouse suites are just adorable. That was my main takeaway from this episode.
There was a moment where they were like, oh my God, the view. And the view is of, like, three other hotels and no beach or water or greenery.
They're like, oh, my God, a window. They let us have a window.
Yeah, I think it seemed like they just thought a view was when you're high up and it doesn't matter what you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you could be looking at, like, a cool cityscape, but it looked more like the view out of a standard New York apartment. Which is like other buildings, not very attractive.
No sunlight, really. Yeah.
Look, an
air
shaft.
And they also say that Jamie is from New Orleans, so she's hoping to get on a one-on-one so she can show him around the city.
And we obviously know Jamie will not be getting a one-on-one.
That is not how the show. They're never like, oh, Nick, we just happen to be in the hometown of one of your ladies, so the date today is going to be she'll show you all her. No, that's the hometown date. It's a whole different episode. Poor Jamie does not get the one-on-one, but Rachel gets the one-on-one.
Oh. I was so excited. I love Rachel.
She's so great. She just seems like a normal, actual human.
Yes, exactly.
And yet here she is on The Bachelor and doing really well.
I want the best for her.
Yeah. Sometimes, and like, I love Nick. I always have. But when I see them together, I'm like,
she's
Rachel, run,
you
can do better. And then I feel guilty. But I really feel like I see Rachel ending up with someone whose main career isn't being on reality television.
Yeah.
Dare to dream.
Well, at least Nick seems to recognize how awesome she is. I really loved this date. It felt kind of more normal. They're just kind of walking around the city, eating beignets and dancing to live music. Like, it looked normal and fun. fun. And Rachel makes a joke about oysters being an aphrodisiac.
Which I don't think she enjoyed the oyster. She was like, there's got to be some redeeming value.
And I think this is a date that, like, Nick likes because he went on one in his hometown where he's like, we'll just walk around. And they don't make for great TV, like watching two people have a good, normal, fun time.
No, it's better TV watching people shovel poop on a farm.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved watching
but
that.
But it's like, oh, this is, you kind of get an actual sense to imagine, like, what would these people look like if they were on a first date or something.
Right, exactly. You're like, oh, I could see these two going on a date. And they have genuine chemistry, which Nick says. He says, like, my chemistry with Rachel is probably the most explosive of anyone.
I don't think that he needs to be using the word explosive.
No, no. But no. We in that context. I appreciated his, you know, general interest. And he just seems super into her. And in the evening portion, he, like, even says, I'm kind of skipping ahead, but he says to her, like, I may be breaking rules here, but I'm super into you. And I really loved that moment. I thought that was very sweet and felt genuine. And Nick is a very controlled and self-aware person. Mm-hmm. So I think in these, there's been a couple one-on-ones, like I think with Vanessa, with Raven, and now with Rachel, where you sort of see him loosen up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like his guard comes down and he forgets that he's trying to, like, keep everything in control and what the producers have told him to ask to get the best story about whatever on the date. And he just is enjoying being with them. And he even, I think, goes a little further than that when he goes, if I meet your father, what do I call him?
Yeah.
She's going on the hometown
I
date.
Know. I he mean, was skipping way ahead.
He's already planning ahead, like, okay, I'm going to go on the hometown. I'm going to meet her dad. I'm going to call him sir because I'm very scared of him. Like, he already knows he's going to be very scared of him.
He's like, I'm going to be like, sorry about the previous two fathers I asked for a hand in marriage and also the three other ones I'm about to do this with. But, sir, I'm super into your daughter. It's interesting because I feel like Nick has difficulty spreading it around. Like, I think he's used to being able to just funnel all of his romantic attention into one person, and when he has to make everyone feel comfortable but also have separate relationships with each of them, his default is just to not be demonstrative toward any of them and not seem that interested. So the fact that he said, like, when I'm with you, I don't think about anything else, I think that's what he needs, because otherwise he just completely clams up as soon as he thinks about another woman. He's like, nope, this is weird, like, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So I was shocked, but Rachel got a rose. they're having dinner at, I don't know how to really put this, but there are Mardi Gras floats everywhere and it's dark.
It was very bizarre.
It's like it's a warehouse where they have all the floats.
So they don't
so I have
just
a bunch
appear
of family
every year?
That live in New Orleans and like are in Mardi Gras parades and stuff.
Mm.
And it's like a warehouse where they keep all the floats.
Oh, that makes sense. And I guess production was like, oh, this will look cool.
Romantic dinner.
I mean, no weirder than being in any other building that's like completely empty and it's just two people there.
Yeah. And each, like, they're called crews. And like each crew has their own warehouse. And the really big ones have like tons of floats. And there's like little ones. It's just like a local community organization.
That's so
and
cool.
And my aunt is on a crew, and her son posted a video on Facebook of her doing, like, a little stroll into, like, a party, because it was just Mardi Gras recently in New Orleans, too.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, it was a really creepy setting, though, I thought. Like, this was, because it was, like, dark, and there were vague glimpses in the flickering candlelight of distorted faces.
And we also know that they always film these like way well past when dinner would actually occur.
It's the middle of the night.
So they're
and
like
they're at
it's
a
like
graveyard for
11 p.m. and they're in a warehouse.
And this episode really relied on spooky as like a general theme.
Oh god, yes it did.
Well, that's what New Orleans is. It's just a spooky place.
Just full of ghosts and jazz.
Yeah, exactly. And not a whole lot of jazz. They really leaned more on the ghosts.
They really did.
And Rachel actually brings up that she was in New Orleans previously and danced in one of these parades because she was there for a funeral. And I was really surprised we didn't actually get any more detail on that.
I know. Well, I wonder also if she just chose not to go into detail.
She did bring it up. Like, that felt sort of like bait to me. And he was sort of like, so tell me about the rest of your family. And she was like, oh, okay.
We didn't really go into that. I also thought it was sort of an interesting coincidence that both Vanessa and Rachel attended funerals right before.
What else could make an intelligent, self-possessed woman go on The Bachelor?
Great loss.
Yeah. They're both just
reeling.
And I think
it was like a normal date story. And it wasn't like, oh, let me tell you this horrible story about how I was cheated on or like some crazy illness. Like, it was just like, yeah, I had a death in my close circle, so I decided to change things up. Like, it felt normal.
That's
and
true.
It felt like it actually was respected in the way they framed it. Yeah, so I was, like, pretty happy about that.
That's true. She also did the thing, though, where they, like, compared their parents' marital statuses. Like, it was, like, the Raven exchange, where they're like, yeah, wow. So crazy that both of us have parents who are still together.
And I think at this point, it's you have a 50-50 shot of your parents still being together.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, it's not unusual if your parents are divorced. It's equally unusual if your parents are not divorced.
It's not an achievement that you have achieved.
No.
Like, you had nothing to do with that.
Right, it is literally not a reflection on anything.
But it just goes to show, you know, that, like, you also won't get divorced because it's in the bloodstream, you know?
Yeah, it's a genetic.
It's an infectious disease. I think it's actually less than half of, because a lot of divorces happen early on in the marriage. So by the time that you have kids, and then it's like 40% of marriages end in divorce. Some of those are like repeat divorces. I have to say it's more likely than not that your parents are still together. Like, that just drives me crazy every time they do it. But I think too much about divorce rates. Just a little psychological tidbit
also,
about me.
Did anyone else think that Rachel's like final lines about how like, she doesn't believe in fairy tales, but she believes in today, and today is a fairy tale. I was like, is this your...
That's a Taylor Swift song.
Okay, but it also
today
felt...
Today was a fairy tale.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
But it also felt a little bit like an audition for Bachelorette. I was like, these are the metaphors you need to use.
Yeah, and I think her whole story, her like story of, oh, I haven't felt this emotional, I haven't opened up to anyone... Like, this is her intro reel for her season.
Exactly.
It'd be like, I didn't open up to anyone, and then I opened up to Nick, and it didn't work out,
but
still
now I'm
believe
ready.
In today's...
The only excuse for her not to be Bachelorette at this point is if she wins. I just don't see how they could go with any... Because they've used as an excuse so many times, you know, like, we need a fan favorite, we need someone
who's made it far enough.
And she's clearly going to be all those things.
Right.
I think.
And it's just, you know, you think about the last couple Bachelorettes, no offense to them, but they were like 25, 27. Rachel's 31.
Caitlin was 30.
Was she?
Yeah. Caitlin was 30.
So she's.
Okay. But it's like she's a little more mature. She's a lawyer. She has something going for her.
Yeah, she has that Andy-like strength, but she's a little softer and I think less controlled than Andy. I think she'd be great TV.
Yeah.
Although I'm usually wrong about that, so, about casting, what would be great TV. I'm like, oh, that would be great TV, and then it happens and it's the most boring season of all time.
They're going to switch it at the last minute to Alexis, and everyone's going to wear shark costumes.
Oh, God. If it's Alexis, I know people love Alexis, but she's a paradise person.
She 100% will not be the Bachelorette, but
she's
hilarious.
Some of us are Bachelorettes, and some of us are Bachelor in Paradise stars. Like, that's just how...
The world works. Okay, so then... We move on to the group date, Till Death Do Us Part.
And at
Josephine,
that point,
Christina, Raven, Alexis, Jamie, Vanessa, Danielle M, Whitney, Jasmine, and Danielle L, which means that Corinne and Taylor are left on the dreaded 2-on-1.
Yeah, I thought it was a little naive how Corinne and Taylor both were like, well, at least I'm going to get rid of this other person. And I was like, no, once you're on the 2-on-1 date, it's over for you. You're not going to win.
Right. No one who goes on the 2-on-1 wins.
Yeah. You're just a tool for producer drama. Like, once you get the 2-on-1 date card, then that's when you have to stand up and say, I'm still here as a tool for producer drama. And I can either lean into it or I can leave gracefully now. but first, we have the Till Death Do Us Part date. And
this
they go
date.
To a plantation.
This date got me all the way fucked up. I cannot stand it.
It was real bad.
It was bad.
It was not okay. And I understand that, like, if you're in a southern city, the majority of your landmarks are going to be, like, antebellum South landmarks. But there was, like, no acknowledgement of, like, oh, this is what this was or anything.
Not even a little. They were like, look, this little white girl who lived here.
She had yellow fever. That's the
and
greatest
I think
tragedy.
Josephine was even like, oh, this is so romantic. Can you imagine getting married here?
A lot of people do
that.
Get married on plantations.
I know. And I said to my boyfriend last night, I go, if I become a ghost, I'm going to go to plantations and haunt people. And just like force the groom to poop his pants like in the middle of the vows and knock things over onto the dresses.
I like that as a ghost mission.
Or you could just become a producer and put X-Lax in a contestant's coffee and put her in a white dress. You know, there are a lot of ways that you could accomplish that. Just something to think about. I don't know. I've been watching too much Unreal also.
Also, why did this date last for 7 hours?
This was like most of the episode.
Yeah. Like why? There was no substance.
And I don't know what they were trying. They already did the, like, gross out date.
Yeah.
Which I hate anyway. But, like, at this point, it's like, do an activity or go dance or, like, do something else than, like, trying to scare people with, like, magic shop props falling off the wall.
Right. They were like, what if we turn off the lights and then make them sit over a Ouija board?
Can you believe, like, that the lights went off at the same time that they went and used the Ouija board? Because, like, how could that have happened other than supernatural interference?
I also was offended that they, like, made this all out to be Jasmine's fault.
Oh, gosh. She touched the hat.
It was like, she touched the hat and she mocked the ghost because she didn't know the ghost's name.
I thought that was so funny. When, like, I really liked Jasmine on this date.
I really like Jasmine. She's not... You know, maybe not getting enough time, but I think she's, like, actually very funny.
She is.
And they
and
did.
And she was like, that little Megan or Molly.
Yeah, Mary, Molly, whatever. I was like, she just Becky'd the ghost.
It was so, like, she was the only one who wouldn't play into the whole, this is so creepy, I don't like it thing. So then I feel like production was like, we're going to break her. We're going to make her fear for her life.
Well, you already knew that Alexis and Danielle L. legitimately believe in ghosts. So they were
But Alexis
done
isn't
for.
That scared of them.
No, she's more scared of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ghost of Nicolas Cage, though. Whew. And Raven seems to enjoy the spookiness a little bit. Vanessa just doesn't want to engage with the spirit world. I was like, Vanessa, pull it together.
Well, they kept Vanessa. It wasn't Vanessa with someone else. They went and, like, asked the ghost.
Danielle M. I think Vanessa and Danielle M. are good friends. I feel like they were just baited. They were must have been so bored because they must have been sitting in this house for, like, 8 hours.
But this is what I
and
think.
Asking the ghost, like, who's going to get a rose? I was like, that ghost does not care.
I don't know. I think if I were a little 8-year-old girl who died of yellow fever, all I would ever think about is, you know, who is going to win a reality dating show contest?
I think that ghost
That's already
has no
all
concept
I think about.
Or context for The Bachelor.
Right, exactly. Like, that ghost is like, what is a television?
Yeah, that ghost has no idea what's going on. That ghost, like, wants some grits, like, transported to the spirit world.
And then, of course, you ask the ghost a question, that's a yes or no question, and then you don't know what the flickering means. Does it mean yes or no? You should have thought that through before you asked the question.
Right. And they kept asking the ghost yes or no questions on the Ouija, and it kept giving them letters that weren't Y or N.
But why would you ask an Ouija board a yes or no question?
No, there usually is like a yes or no option, like above the letters. I don't know if anyone else played with these when they were young.
My parents found out. I was like, you can't touch that.
I don't feel comfortable messing with the spirit world.
You just don't engage.
I don't engage. It's not because I like believe in it, but you know, why touch the hat is all I'm saying. Also, I think they just invested so much in the production of this date.
The Bachelor interns must have been
very
busy.
There were crashing chandeliers. There were, like, shattering china plates. They had to just use a bunch of the footage because they were like, we went all in on this date. Like, what are we supposed to do with this episode?
Do we have any takeaways from this date other than, like, it was weird and unnecessary?
There was a weird Beauty and the Beast tie-in because the rose was
almost forgot about that. Yeah, because they played the trailer during the commercial break, and they had those weird they would cut to, like, Josh Gad.
And the guy who plays Gaston.
And the guy who plays Gaston, who I can't remember his name.
So they have those, and then they also have the ads where Nick is being interrogated by the woman from Quantico.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Nick, you are so lucky that you got to hang out with Priyanka Chopra.
I know. He has like a shit-eating grin on his face.
In what world would
scenes.
You ever be on the level of Priyanka Chopra?
I think this is probably the level of The Bachelor we're going to see, like, his willingness to participate in, like, commercials and stunts. Because he's just been on it so much, he must be so comfortable being in front of a camera.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his chance to, like, do a McDonald's commercial.
Like Ben Higgins.
Yeah.
Like Ben Higgins, right.
He's not throwing away his shot at doing a McDonald's commercial. Also, we need to briefly talk about Boo. Boo is the caretaker of the estate.
Boo was hired for a day rate as an actor.
He lives with the ghost, and he knows the ghost very well. He was not very good at what he was doing. Like, I feel like he was supposed to convey, like, creepiness, but he kept stumbling over his lines.
There was one shot where it was him outside the plantation house being like, oh, no, they done spooked the ghost, like, muttering to himself, pacing back and forth.
And he says, like, if you make May mad, she's going to be mad. I was like,
what?
No. This is allegedly what you do for a living. You've got to have something better than that.
You've got to get someone with some improv training or an improv background. They can just say yes and to the whole ghost spirit world.
Someone with more, like, distinctive facial hair, like a really well-waxed mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, I wanted someone who looked sort of like a ghost. Like, if they had a moment of, like, someone else comes in, they're like, wait, where's Boo? And they went, Boo's been dead for 100 years. Like, they missed that opportunity for a gag.
Yeah, so I think we should just compile, some of our notes, send it over to ABC, give them some feedback.
Boo, you did some great readings. We just want to see a little more energy on that next take.
I wonder how many times they actually did those shots of him introducing May.
Certainly more than once.
And yet they couldn't find one where he said things in some
sort of right order.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. When we get back, we'll have more with Allie. Stay with us. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show.
Oh, I almost completely forgot the fact that Raven told Nick on this date that she's in love with him.
Yeah, it really just slipped by.
And it's so early.
Which I at least appreciated that she was sort of like, yeah, I don't really know why I said that. It's really soon.
I have to feel like after the last date, when she told him that she beat up an ex-boyfriend with a shoe for crossing her, I feel like what I wouldn't want is for him to what I wouldn't want as him is to hear, it's only been a couple weeks, but I'm madly in love with you. What are all these 9 other girls doing here? Like, that's a little. She has a history of being slightly intense.
It was nice that it wasn't like, I'm in love with you or I love you. She was just sort of like, oh, yeah, and that's it. I love you because it's it. Like, it felt like a very natural way that it would come out. Like, it would slip out.
Yeah, and she was funny about it afterwards. She's growing on me. I think Nick likes her.
I think she's in for like a hometown date.
Me too.
I think they've built up her. Is she the one that's Faith Family Football? We gotta see that Faith Family Football.
Yeah, we need to see that hometown.
Yeah, add a little variety to the mix.
Right. We need more shots of her, you know, walking along the railroad tracks.
And getting suddenly hit by a train.
Hopefully not.
See, I don't mind messing with the spiritual world. Don't walk on the railroad tracks.
Yeah, do not mess with the train world.
And I thought they seemed much more natural together than Danielle M. But Danielle M. gets the group date rose.
I pegged Danielle M. to go really far at the beginning just because she has such a great story and their one-on-one date in the beginning was so great. But I think she's just like a little too reserved for him.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I have her in my fantasy league final four,
but too.
I think I might be wrong.
I think she has such a great story and she is like genuinely a wonderful person.
Yeah, it seems like she and Vanessa are very close in real life. And they both seem like solid human beings.
It seems like she's well liked in the house. Everyone was really happy when she
got the first one-on-one.
Yeah. But there's something weird about Nick's interactions with her. Like, he gave her the rose and to offer some reassurance, as they do. But when they were having their one-on-one time, he was not really opening up to her physically. Like, she was sort of, like, wrapped around him and, like, kissing him, and he was sort of like, okay, but, like, I'm going to sit facing straight forward and you can do all the work.
Oh, I like kissing you, like, very dreamy. He just went, oh, weird, I feel the same.
Yeah, he was not caught up in that moment at all.
No.
I was really surprised. She was, like, the last person I thought was going to get that group date rose. But
yeah, I thought Raven was going to get it for saying I'm in love with you.
Well, I think that's exactly why she did not get it, because it's better TV
if
she doesn't get it.
Now she's going to just go crazy.
Right. Then she was insecure afterwards and was like, oh, my God, I told him I love him and he didn't even give me the rose.
Yeah.
And she's going to beat him with a shoe.
I see it.
That's next episode.
There's no shortage of women's shoes around the set of this show. So he needs to watch out. Meanwhile, Corinne and Taylor are back at the hotel getting ready.
Taylor is meditating, sort of, and Corinne is ordering a lot of food from room service, which I did really respect. You know, I respected that move.
That would be me in any hotel that they put us in.
Same.
I would immediately be like, what is our room service budget? What can we expense?
I loved how they showed her asking for change back at
the
end.
She doesn't have money.
Change?
They were probably like, we thought that was our tip. It was not that much money.
Yeah. I used to tour for my job. I was a performer and I would tour. And that whenever we got to a hotel, we were like, how late is the bar open? Is there a tub I can take a bubble bath in? And can we order room service? Or what food can we bring back to the room? That was like our immediate checklist.
I mean, that seems completely legitimate.
I relate on that level.
I just felt resentment because I was like, how can she eat all that and still weigh like 110 pounds? It just doesn't seem fair to me. It's like,
well,
she's flaunting it.
When you have that much pettiness, it like absorbs a lot of your calories, I think.
That's true.
Poor Rachel is left to do like therapy, group therapy, couples therapy for Taylor and Corinne.
Yeah,
she's like, you both should just be very confident. I think you might both be misunderstood. I'm like, oh, this poor woman.
And you know that Corinne and Taylor just kept coming up to her being like, oh my God, this other bitch.
100%.
And Rachel was like trying to read an Us Weekly from 6 weeks ago.
Right. I mean, and Rachel is a full like 7-8 years older than them.
That's a big dip.
Yeah.
But she must not feel threatened at all. She's like, I just had this amazing date. And here are these two literal children. They can go on their two-on-one date. There's no way he's ending up with either of them.
Right. She's like, I already know he's thinking about what he's going to call my dad when he meets him.
Exactly.
I would be wondering what to call
Corinne's
dad.
Is
Mr. CEO.
Very people smart. So she just,
yes.
She understands a lot of things about people.
She does. And she tells Rachel, I hope he sees my heart of gold.
I have no comment.
Me neither. I just want to put that out there. She says a lot of things. For example, she's very upset as she takes her bubble bath with a face mask and drinks an entire bottle of champagne. She's very upset that Taylor can't see other kinds of intelligency like hers, which is more colorful.
She's a more colorful kind of intelligence. She can tell what colors are.
Yeah, I bet she can.
I mean, that does take a skill.
She dresses very well. So
yeah.
She's got to have
some color coordination.
She
clearly has some color
coordination. Like, one of her primary skills is like knowing the difference between eggshell and egg crew.
I could use that.
Yeah, she can come in and help, with painting my apartment.
Yeah. This scene just made me hate Corinne more. I feel like everyone else is starting to get on Team Corinne, and I just can't do it.
No, I was more entertained by her last episode, and this episode she was grating on me a lot.
Yeah, when Corinne has, like, an actual target, it's not as fun.
Yeah, when she's just generally being, like, a flighty weirdo, I find it really funny and just, like, saying things about napping to the camera. Like, that, I'm here for that. When she's repeating over and over how gross and bitchy someone is, like, I just,
creative.
And then she said, make America Corinne again. And I just, like, it was like trigger warning.
Yeah, it was just, like, an involuntary, like, full body dry heave.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's not the first time that she has done that.
No, and we have to remember, like, this was all filming during the campaign.
She's so, yeah. I can't not speculate about this. She's definitely a Trump supporter.
Whenever I watch any television now, I have to, like, I watch a lot of Say Yes to the Dress, and I just am looking at those women, like, did you vote for Hillary? Did you vote for Trump? And if I think they voted for Trump, I don't care if they went over budget.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's what they get.
So they go on this two-on-one date. We know it's going to be a disaster from moment one. Corinne has...
Because there was a human spine on the ground.
I thought it was a crocodile spine.
I genuinely thought it looked like a sixth grade science classroom.
It was
skeleton
very,
that had been taken apart.
They it was may very have cohesive. Stolen it from a sixth grade classroom.
It was very clean and like fully assembled and just lying there. It was very.
So we can assume that it was taken from a display and
as a
placed.
Prop.
Yeah.
Yeah. To make it spooky.
God, it was like, can we just move on from this?
Can you believe something was eaten here?
And then. What is the date cards? Or someone says, get ready to be revealed. Is that the weird white voodoo woman?
She was revealed.
In like a bucket hat?
Oh, God.
It's a voodoo priestess hat.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, my mistake.
As anyone knows.
Again, like as someone, like my family has a lot of ties to New Orleans and my mom insists that she has some sort of magic. But it just, like, it didn't make any sense to not have any, like, historical context for what voodoo is or, like, have any explanation of, like, where it comes from. And it just, like, made it look, like, silly.
Well, that would be really awkward for the white woman who was in charge of the date. She was like, here's where it comes from.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Bachelor franchise isn't best known for its cultural sensitivity.
It's not quite one of its strengths. It felt like, oh gosh, this, like, we're going, again, there's, like, fun stuff you could do in New Orleans that, like,
well, right,
play
that's,
on this
that's why I didn't get it. Like,
woods.
This is the only thing you could come up with?
I mean, it is the two-on-one date, so obviously they had to either have a dance lesson, which would allow one of them to feel like a third wheel, or they had to go to a remote unsettling location where one of them could be left.
Be left, like, staring down an animal that could eat them.
Yes.
I mean, there were a lot of gator shots, and they're not safe to be... Like, I was a little bit confused by what we were supposed to take away from this. Like, yeah, go wander around with gigantic...
Yeah, they were like, one of these women might end up eaten.
I mean...
And it didn't seem like they were in any kind of enclosure or that it was safe.
No, they were wearing like sneakers and shorts.
So they could run.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I would want some more protective covering. I'd be wearing like leather pants and knee
I was
pants.
Sitting there thinking like, oh, is there Zika in New Orleans? Like that was all I could think about.
Probably. That's clearly all Corinne was thinking about. She's not an
outdoorsy
girl.
Again, another reason Corinne and I are on the same page. We're both concerned about Zika.
That I did relate a lot to Corinne as they kept playing clips of her like freaking out at mosquitoes. Because
yeah,
that
I would
is how
not be.
I
would not be there for that either. So they sit down with this lady who decides to read their tarot cards, but there's just too much tension in the
air
and the
tension.
Energy. So therefore, Taylor has to stay while Nick and Corinne have some alone time, thereby allowing Corinne.
Yeah, what was Taylor thinking?
Call Taylor a bully.
How could she let Corinne have him first? This is the whole strategy. You have to get the time first.
Get time with
Taylor is thinking a step
ben
ahead,
first.
Which is
Maybe
so
not.
Terrible. But I just don't think she's like. Active. She's too focused on Corinne.
I feel for Taylor because early on in the show, I felt like she was trying so hard to stay out of it.
I also do
and
think
she
was
she
trying to
failed.
Not have her time with Nick be about Corinne. But then because Corinne had brought her up so much, she then was in the position of being on the defense, which is not a good position to be in.
Yeah, the person who's on defense almost always ends up
going home. But, like, it just doesn't... I feel like Corinne did a great job flipping the usual dynamic by going to him first and therefore creating the impression that Taylor was the villain in the house, because obviously the villain goes home on the two-on-one.
Yeah.
But I expected that Nick would be a little more because he'd already heard from, like, every other woman in the entire house.
But Nick also is like,
that Corinne sucks.
I like an aggressive woman. I want to sleep with Corinne, therefore.
Yeah, I think he's just so blinded, like, by her boobs, and that she, like, climbed on him in a bouncy house. That he's like, whatever. And he knows he can't sleep with her before the acceptable sleep with moment.
He's already, because he's already done that, and it didn't
He's already done that, and he's already gotten enough heat from that and been called the other guy, or whatever he called it. Sean called him.
Other guy.
The other guy. But I think he's just like, I think he just thinks she's kind of fun in that way that, like, sometimes people think, like, women who are, like, kind of off the wall and create drama are fun. Because it's not, none of it's directed at him.
Except she does spend a lot of time with him complaining about the other women and explaining how mature she's being. I really think he's just putting up with it because he wants – and it reminds me a little bit of – and this isn't a fair comparison to Caitlin, but it reminds me of Chris Soules and Caitlin, that she sticks around until the fantasy suite date, and then he's sort of like, all right, here we are, fantasy suite. We really deserve this. Like, we deserved it, like – enjoy each other in this way. And then she goes home. And it was just, could you be more obvious about the fact that you just wanted to have sex with her? Like, it was so gross. And that's kind of what I get from this dynamic, is he's like, everyone be patient. I just need to keep Corinne around until I can sleep with her.
And I think it's like, at the beginning, he did seem to be having fun with Corinne. But I think, like, she hasn't been able to bring any bouncy houses. She hasn't been able to bring any, you know, whipped cream or hot fudge on their group dates or anything.
Yeah, I don't really see any actual chemistry between the two of them. But he just wants to sleep with her.
He had chemistry with her, like, in the beginning.
I think he has sexual chemistry with her.
I do think it's interesting that it was, what, like, the second episode when she brings out the whipped cream. And he says, Corinne is very good at stimulating chemistry between us. And I was like, well, if she's already having to do gimmicks to stimulate sexual chemistry between you, that's not a great sign. Like, it's very – this is, like, the second time you've seen her, and she's already having to basically do a striptease to keep things
fun.
Well,
I also think that's because Corinne has no idea what, like, actual sexual chemistry is like.
Oh, totally.
No.
Like I joked in one of my recaps, she's like a doll that's been brought to life, and the only thing that she's ever watched has been, like, Wild Things.
She's
someone who has been told, like, you are sexy.
Yeah,
but, like,
so she plays
know what that
out
means or how to use it.
Yeah, she's definitely pulling a lot of
she's
tricks.
She's like, and this is what it means to be a sexy woman, and this is how you then.
Yeah, she's like, I saw, like, Varsity Blues, and I know what I'm supposed to do now to be a man's fantasy.
Doesn't work out that well for Allie Larder.
And she's like,
but,
what, you know, 3 years older than Varsity Blues?
Yeah, actually never seen Varsity Blues.
Really?
I was pretty young when it came out.
What? No, you were not that young. I don't want to blow up your spot. But.
No, I was too young to, like, go see it. I think the first, like, rom-com I saw in the theaters was Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, that's a good one.
But yeah, it was, like, a good one.
To
okay,
her,
go on.
A sexy older movie is Varsity Blues.
When did Varsity Blues come out? I'm Googling.
Emma's distracted.
99. Yeah, 99.
Yeah, I was 11.
A couple of years older than Varsity Blues.
Yeah, she is. Oh, God.
Yeah, she was definitely born in 94.
We're getting to that point now where people born in 94 are, like, adults who go,
I used to teach in an after-school program, and I had one of the students tell me they liked watching old movies.
Oh, no.
So I go, oh, what old movie? And she goes, Titanic.
Oh, God, no.
And I go, oh, I thought you were going to say Wizard of Oz. And she goes, oh, not black and white, just old.
No.
You're like, oh, are we at the point where a movie that came out in 97 is old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
But so I think for Corinne, it's like she just knows that like certain things are sexy because like, you know, 2 Chainz and James Vanderbeek tells me so. So I'm going to do sexy things.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, so we have to start wrapping this up because as per usual, we like to talk too much.
Yep.
So
we have to talk about the voodoo dolls as we leave because the whole voodoo doll thread of this plot was so poorly put together. Like, so first of all, the voodoo priestess in the bucket hat starts out by saying, first, I want to talk about voodoo dolls. They're actually not for hurting people. It's about, like, energy and, like, keeping things on the up and up and healing.
They only hurt you if you hurt other people.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, Nick's like, oh, so they're not used for hurting people? And she's like, no, they are.
Yeah.
In total contradiction to what I just said. They're totally used for hurting people. Let's be very clear
and
about that.
And I will
that.
Give you one to hurt people.
Right.
Right. Corinne's like, so how do you make a voodoo doll directed at one person? I don't know who, like, and won't reveal who that person is, but just, like, to a person.
I don't think that you can, like, the fact that they just gave her a voodoo doll, I don't think that was a Taylor voodoo doll. Don't you have to do something a little more involved?
I would hope so. Otherwise,
yeah,
you could just, like,
I think
so. Pick up any doll and call it a voodoo doll.
Right. I thought you were supposed to have, like, some hair or something. Like, I don't know.
There's
what I'm
certainly
talking about.
A more complex process than what we saw.
But I think it was very.
I genuinely thought, because they had that shot of, like, Taylor walking in the woods kind of by herself and Corinne stabbing the voodoo doll. I thought they were going to cut it with, like, a clip of Taylor tripping to, like, make you think it would feel.
That would have been brilliant.
They probably are just dying that they didn't think of doing that right now. I think that at least, like, Corinne got a little bit of her anger out. She was really enjoying pushing the pin into the doll.
Yeah, she's emotionally intuitive and aware.
It's about healing.
And she was just healing herself.
She was healing herself.
That's true. And Taylor is a water sign, which you made sure the tarot card reader knew. So they're both very emotionally intuitive and aware.
I don't know what that means. Sorry, Taylor.
So eventually,
I don't think that has anything to do with tarot cards.
I don't think
tarot cards have anything to do with voodoo.
Right?
No,
it was all just completely
just
disconnected.
Like, we can just put these together.
Yeah,
it's
like,
all spooky.
We'll just read your chart and read your palm, and it's all weird voodoo. Like,
yeah.
I think they acted like voodoo just meant, like, anything kind of spooky.
Well, that is the general.
They just found an actress, and they were like, would you be willing to say whatever we wanted you to say?
And she was like, yes, absolutely. How much will you pay me?
Like, surrounded by African statues.
And there were like, black people in the scene, but they did not have speaking parts. So
no.
I don't know what their thoughts were.
ABC mirroring Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah. So, of course, as we know, Corinne gets the rose because, as Nick explains, this is about how he feels about them, not about how the women feel about each other. And Corinne just has a little, you know, victory party with herself. She's nice until she's crossed. She just is really feels good that, you know, the negative energy hasn't ruined everything.
And she does a little imagines what Taylor is writing in her diary. And it sounds so much like what Trump would say if he were imagining one of his enemies writing in a diary.
And she went period at the end of
period.
It, and it just made me think of his press secretary.
Yes. Like, I was already thinking that, and then she said period. And I was like, what are you
And doesn't like Taylor knows. Then throw in a line about how Corinne is egocentric and toddler-like?
I can't disagree
with
that.
Something like that.
It was
kind
of great. And this was all also, like, happening as the whole Sally Yates thing was going down. My Twitter feed was just, like, a very confusing mix of politics and The Bachelor.
Pretty much the same.
And some crossover tweets. It was, you know, I was like, nothing is sacred. We can't get a break.
Nothing is safe.
Yeah.
And Taylor got purified and had like a cleansing ceremony.
Oh yeah, that was a very
odd. She got back on a boat like moment. In the middle of the night to go back to land or whatever.
Yeah, I really couldn't tell what we were supposed to think happened there. That she was left there and then she wandered over and she was like, "Oh, hi. Are you just gonna pour? Oh, okay, sure. Just an accidental purification ceremony." It was,
and of course, then we end on another freaking to be continued. I'm over it.
Taylor,
I don't want
needs
these to happen anymore.
Tell Nick, because otherwise Corinne and Nick's relationship will be built off of whipped cream and lies. There are
and
worse
I mean,
ways.
In the next week on, were they insinuating that they both went home?
They were insinuating that. Almost
and now
too
I'm
obviously.
Convinced that Corinne does not go home.
Because it's just too, they insinuated it too hard. And that makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
Fool me once, The Bachelor. I thought Corinne might go home this week.
Me too. I was so wrong.
But they are just letting Taylor just like go full off the wall, unhinged. When she had seemed so put together and she's like, no, I won't stand for this.
Yeah, she's not going to come off that well next week, I'm going to guess.
Man, I'm such a partisan. I was like, go, Taylor, go get her.
You just know it's not going to work out for her. You're like,
I know
just
it's
give
not
it
going to work
go,
out for her.
Go back to the hotel. Enjoy a few days in New Orleans by yourself. Yeah,
go eat some beignets.
Eat all the food on ABC's dime. And I think that's a perfect note for us to wrap up on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. This was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
And now for Feminism Fails. First of all, this week, Nick discusses asking Rachel's father, and of course three other fathers, for their daughter's hand in marriage. Fathers. Thought we talked about this last season and the season before that and the season before that. We're going to give that a 4 because listen to us about this, please.
Yeah, come on. Nick, you've listened to this show. You know better.
Right?
And then, of course, Taylor and Corinne spend the majority of this episode calling each other bitches. I'm going to give that 1 a 3. Just
I'll a be general glad when all veil of this, of ickiness.
Yeah, when all of this drama can be over. And now for our tweet of the week. This week, it comes from none other than the lovely Olivia Caridi at Olivia Caridi. This debate about the definition of emotional intelligence is really affecting my mental health.
Same.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Ali Barthwell, and our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating and glowing review. We're also on Facebook, so please like us. You can also find us both on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.